We know we need it. 3.2 million of us die each year for lack of it. It's the fourth most common cause of death worldwide, yet only a quarter of us are meeting the guidelines for physical activity. If we work a desk job, our body needs to get up and move every half an hour. So what's stopping you? Perhaps you can do more during your ordinary workday than you think. Stand by. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. Hello and welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Meet Dr. Larry Cohen. This is his health story. Watch.
My life used to be just a typical standard American life with a standard American diet. The only vegetables I would eat would be the lettuce, onion, and tomato on my burger, and the tomato had to be in the form of ketchup. And I didn't exercise. I would work, you know, a couple times a year. Our family would take a ski trip, and that's about it. I was arrogant about my health. I didn't really think about whether or not this was going to hurt me. And if I did think about it, I said, well, if I die a couple years early, it doesn't matter. I'm enjoying this, which is not only stupid, it's selfish. But again, I was arrogant about my health because I didn't have any risk factors for heart disease other than my cholesterol was high. My dad died at 69 of lung cancer, smoked since he was 12, but had cath-proven normal coronary arteries. I didn't smoke, I didn't have high blood pressure, no family history of heart disease, no diabetes. So I thought I was pretty much bulletproof because I had good genes. And then the weight started coming on, got up to be 197 pounds. At 5'6", I didn't want to hit that 200 pound mark, so my vanity took over. So I told my wife, I go, let's join a gym and lose weight and get in shape. And, you know, she rolls her eyes at me because that's what wives do when husbands say stupid things, because over the years we've joined gyms and would never go. But they actually had a program. 6 weeks you got with a diet person and a trainer, and for $200. And so I did it, and I mean, I was working out 6 days a week, mainly weightlifting. Changed my diet. Went from this terrible diet to basically a Mediterranean style diet. And I pretty much cut out red meat. I was eating lots of fish. Instead of going for six or seven sodas a day, I was drinking nothing but water. I'm eating now fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and healthy olive oil. And it worked. I mean, it was a starvation diet. I had to measure out all the meat and everything like that. But I lost 60 pounds over the next 3 or 4 months. I was in the best shape of my life. My cholesterol dropped 100 points. I was 10% body fat. Told my wife, I'm glad I changed my lifestyle before something bad happened.
On today's show, we have a co-author of the million-copy bestseller, The Daniel Plan. There's a very sweet treat created by Chef Mark Anthony. Sean will get us on the move, and we have the rest of Larry's story. So let's get started with the news. In the headlines today, sedentary children, exercise and bariatric surgery, and more fit, less death. More than half of children in the US are too sedentary. Researchers in Ohio analysed self-reported physical activity records of nearly 8,000 children aged 5 to 18 who attended their hospital's pediatric sports medicine clinic to see how much exercise they were actually getting. 5% were not exercising at all. 50% were doing some but not enough. And 45% achieved the recommended 7 hours a week. However, only 5% were really on track, getting 60 minutes every day. The others were exercising for more than 60 minutes on fewer days of the week, risking burnout and injury. Boys did an extra hour of exercise each week over girls, making them 40% more likely to meet the guidelines. Physical activity in childhood is vital to develop motor skills and physical literacy. It also improves weight control and makes kids more likely to be active as adults. Physical exercise after weight loss surgery is associated with better outcomes. A meta-analysis of 8 studies involving almost 350 patients has shown that those who were randomized to exercise after the intervention lost more weight, had better physical function, and greater exercise capacity. They also had lower systolic blood pressure and resting heart rate. Best results were seen in those who did aerobic and resistance training and who continued exercising more than 1 year after surgery. So if you're planning to have bariatric surgery, be sure to make exercise part of that plan. By improving our cardiorespiratory fitness, we can make a significant impact on our risk of premature death. A retrospective observational study of over 13,000 adults has been conducted in Detroit, Michigan, called the Henry Ford Exercise Testing Project. Participants had an average age of 55 years, 40% were women, and 25% were black. Each participant underwent 2 fitness tests at least a year apart to assess their exercise capacity. Those who improved their cardiorespiratory fitness from low to intermediate or high reduced their risk of death by 35% in black patients and 60% in white. So remember, it's never too late to get fit and stay fit. And it's a great investment. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news. Today's guest is Sean Foy, world-renowned exercise physiologist and behavioral coach. He keeps writing books and designing programs to make us move just a wee bit more. I asked him why.
There's nothing better to slow down the aging process than moving. Nothing better. So if we want to look and feel younger, physical activity and exercise is by far the best intervention. But from an emotional perspective, and I think this is of interest for many of our clients that we work with and organizations, physical motion dramatically impacts our emotion. We just feel better. We're happier. Life is better. We know from studies that we see decrease in depression, anxiety, stress. So it's difficult to nail it down to one benefit, but I would say look and feel younger and also experience greater happiness and joy in life.
How many chronic diseases are related to physical activity?
Well over 40 chronic diseases can be affected by regular physical activity and exercise. And I think that's something that, for me, for years, talking about the benefits of exercise, that's what I have been doing. And it's funny now because I call it the blah, 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 because everybody knows it's good for us, but we're not doing it. In fact, as a country, we've gone backwards. 7 out of 10 of us are not performing enough physical activity and exercise to benefit our health. So we began to experiment with what can we do throughout our day? Just little movements, even a minute of movement can have significant impact. That was foreign to me as an exercise physiologist. I always thought, you know, it has to be 30 minutes, 20 to 60 minutes, stay in your target heart rate zone. We're realizing now, though, just a little bit of movement. Any movement is better than no movement. So we're really trying to help people just move.
Our bar is coming down in a way.
Way down. We need to. We need to because, and don't get me wrong, the benefits of 3 to 5 days a week of regular aerobic activity, stay in your target heart rate zone, regular resistance training, stretching, all that's really good information and very beneficial. But what I think I know I was doing wrong as a health professional, I was starting there instead of starting at the smallest point. What can I do today? If I were to just, in fact, I literally found this. I was writing a lot. I was writing books. And I noticed being a personal trainer coming to sitting all day long, the average person sits anywhere from 7.7 to really 15 hours a day. So a significant part of our day is sitting. But if I were to stand up and sit down just 10 times, and I did that once an hour throughout my day, at the end of the day, I would complete 80 squats. That's significant. That's something that we can do. So we're really trying to help people start with small movements. Ideally, sit for 60, move for 3 minutes would be ideal, but even just 1 minute can make a profound impact on our health.
1 minute at a time. More in the next segment, so stay with us. Though before the break, check this out.
Honey, I still don't feel well. I don't think I'm getting any better.
Oh, really? Are you exercising like your doctor recommended?
Well, yeah. You know, the batteries went out on my remote the other day, and I had to change the TV manually all night long.
That's not exercise. I bet your heart rate hardly went up.
Oh, well, you know those dramas I watch on television?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the exciting part, my heart races. That must be exercise.
Hardly. Your doctor said you need 150 minutes a week of aerobic activity.
Well, what's aerobic mean?
That means exercise or activity that puts your heart rate up. Depends on your age, but for you, you should be aiming for about 130.
Well, my heart races when I go up about 4 steps. Of course, I have to stop and rest and get my breath after that. Is that exercise?
Well, how long does your heart rate stay up there?
Oh, for about 10 seconds at least.
10 seconds? You need to maintain it for 10 minutes each time.
10 minutes? Wow. Well, maybe that's why I'm not getting better, because I'm not trying hard enough.
Well, that would be an understatement. Pathetic efforts, pathetic results. Our happiness depends on our health, so give your health the best. Doctor's orders.
If you thought plant-based eating was boring and bland, think again, because Chef Mark Anthony is here to prove that it's not, right?
With carob avocado pudding.
Ooh, that sounds so
good. I know. Well, most people don't like carob as much as...
No, that's true.
You know, I mean, people who don't have their taste buds working right, I guess. You know, they seem to have a different flavor.
Yeah.
But we've done a lot of homework, and I found out a way to really make it taste wow, and nobody even knows the difference between that and chocolate.
Oh, so. Well, we'll put them to the test.
Yeah, yeah. And we've really got some simple ingredients. I've just got 3 ripe avocados. I've got a cup of maple syrup, a cup of carob powder, and a teaspoon of vanilla. That's it.
Doesn't get much simpler
That's
than
it.
That, right?
All right, so we've got our avocados here.
Keep going.
If I do, I might end up having to do a retake on this. Everything goes everywhere.
Yeah, right. It'll land right in the middle of the syrup, right?
We're going to have you put all 3 of those in the bowl there.
Just so I don't make a mess with the powder, I'll put it in first.
Yes. That is the secret, not to make a mess.
Yeah. Woohoo. Don't know if I'll master it, but.
And then we're going to do the avocados here.
Maple syrup has such a lovely flavor, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's the good maple syrup.
Yeah. Nowadays,
nowadays, some of it is just made with high fructose corn syrup. It's just maple syrup, but it's just,
it's cheating.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just doing a few slices like this, and hopefully I still have fingers left. I do. Good.
Yes. Yep. We need fingers and avocados cut. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Preferably not one without the other.
Yeah.
I know you could do this 3 times the speed I'm chugging along here at.
You're from New Zealand, right?
I'm from New Zealand. We have beautiful avocados. Yeah, my parents have a few trees. We just sort of,
Let's go in the backyard.
Do we need some more butter? Okay, we just wander out and pick one out of the front yard and wander back in, and we've got butter for our bread and... Yeah, avocados for a salad.
Yeah, and I love avocados with bread. Yeah, in the morning.
That toast, whole grain toast. There's just
nothing
like having.
All right, I'm going to put this right here.
Having avocados to spread on there, a little salt, and you're away. Healthy, healthy fats, you know?
Here comes the challenging part. Because you realize if. Did you see her just take a step back?
I'd stand back as well if I were
kids
you.
Don't try to. And that's what had happened. People come in here, and you'll see the powder. See the powder?
Oh, yeah, look at it.
And so that's the thing you don't want to do is just come in here and turn this thing on.
Yeah.
You want to.
I'm getting to.
You want to get it kind of incorporated before you turn this baby on. Yeah. And there we go. And they're really handy for stuff like this.
Yeah.
Now you could use like a blender or a food processor.
Yeah.
And all you're going to want to do is get this as creamy as you possibly can and just get it nice and creamy.
Yep.
And then, but we're going to, for lack of time, we're going to pull that one over here.
All right.
We put this one in the fridge. If you grab a spoon there, we've got some, we can create right here.
Oh,
and
create away.
Sometimes what you want to do is actually re-blend this. A lot of times what we'll do is refrigerate it, and then we'll re-blend it to get the texture. I did not do that, and it looks about just right. So fortunately, we're right there.
So when you re-blend it, does it soften it, or?
Well, sometimes it might be a little too thick or something.
Yeah.
Usually when you re-blend it, then you can get the texture you want.
Right.
And you might want to use it for different applications. I mean, this can be used for a lot of different things. You could actually turn around and make this into lots of different desserts.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, chips on that, and I am going to taste away.
But for an actual pudding, this would be your carob pudding.
That is so silky.
You would never know. Okay. But the whole trick is to make sure you blend it very well.
Yep.
And then the next day, you could always re-blend it to get the texture
silky
that you want.
Silky smooth. That is perfect. Thanks,
perfect.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't catch that recipe, go to the website, hopetv.org/gohealthy. That's where we keep all of our recipes free for you just to try. Larry was eating the standard American diet and not exercising. When his weight got into the obese range, he became serious about his health. He and his wife joined a gym, began eating a Mediterranean diet, and Larry proudly dropped 60 pounds in weight. He was sure he had missed a bullet. You'll never guess what happened next, though. Watch.
Well, my wife liked to run, and I was not much of a runner, but she talked me into doing a couple 5Ks, which I really liked. And she said she wanted to do a marathon. I go, well, it's 26 miles. She says 26.2. That 0.2 was the deal breaker for me. So I had friends doing triathlon. So I said, why don't we do a sprint triathlon that runs only a 5K, 3 miles, and swim's not that long. And she said, well, I'm a little nervous about the swimming part. So we joined a master swim team. So this is in October of 2002. Lost my weight in 1999, January of 1999. So we're training and get bikes and, you know, everything's going good. Then I noticed in the following January in 03, my endurance is starting to go down. Even the swim coach had noticed that I was having trouble, and then I'm just tired, just got off work. Decided one day to do a little mini triathlon in the gym. It just wore me out. I couldn't even finish it. The next morning, June and I go to a spin class. About 5 minutes into it, I get this feeling of impending doom. I thought I was gonna die. No pain, nothing, but everything was black. It was terrifying. That's all I could, the only word I can think of it. So I go out, compose myself, and said, let's go over to the ER, I'll do an EKG. It's normal, because of course, everything passed. So we go back to the gym, get on the treadmill. About 5 minutes into that, now I have chest pain, arm pain, and jaw pain. And I'm thinking, so this is what a heart attack feels like. Stop, symptoms go away. Call a cardiologist, friend of mine, said, you need to do a stress test on me today. He said, Larry, you're in great shape. I'm 49 years old. Yes, I go, you don't remember what I was like 4 years ago, fat, out of shape, even though I visually looked like I was peak of health, you know, I knew down deep I wasn't. So I said, bring my wife in. So she looks him, the cardiologist, dead in the eye and says, is there anything he can do with food? Because she knew more than I did. And he snapped back at her, no. And of course, I have the, 2 days later, we have the bypass. Next morning, I'm thinking, what's going on here? They brought me my heart healthy chicken salad, took the chicken off. From that point on, I started researching lifestyle and disease reversal. A year later, on no added oils, no added fats, just a completely whole food, plant-based diet, as natural as could be, probably about 10% of my calories come from fat on that diet. A year later, a completely normal scan, and everything was reversed.
Only possible with that whole food, plant-based diet. But the physical activity was definitely part of the package. I asked today's guest, exercise expert Sean Foy, what inactivity actually costs us.
I realized this as an athlete. I realized that when I was playing college football at the age of 19 years old, I had a knee injury that was severe enough to have surgery. So I had to wear a cast from the top of my hip all the way down to my ankle. I don't know if you've ever had that type of an injury. It's terrible. The worst part is obviously not moving the limb. But next to that is when you have an itch because you can't scratch with the cast on. So I literally would take a hanger or a stick to scratch my leg. What I discovered was absolutely amazing because 2 weeks after not moving this limb, I could take my hand and go all the way down to my thigh and scratch my thigh. 4 weeks, I could go all the way past my knee. In 8 weeks, cast is almost off, I could literally go down to my ankle. And here's, wow, here's what opened my eyes to inactivity. What happened to my body as a college athlete, training 3 hours a day, very athletic, all of a sudden things started aging quickly.
And all that muscle just muscle
atrophy,
away, right?
Metabolic changes, weight gain. But then on the emotional side, depression, anxiety, stress levels were extremely high, motivational changes, behavioral changes, just finding my way. But what was fascinating was if I were to look at my leg functionally, physiologically, I would say that my leg aged 80 years. Because my grandmother at the time was 94 years old. Her legs were functionally much stronger than mine. I could not bend my leg. I could not really walk without a limp. It was literally shrunk down to almost nothing in 8 weeks. Made me realize the impact of inactivity. And that's a graphic way of thinking about it, but I think it helps us to know every day that we're sitting, this impact is occurring in our bodies, in our health, metabolic changes. We know that University of Missouri did a study on sitting. We know if we sit for long periods of time, it shuts off an enzyme called lipoprotein lipase that really helps us burn fat. So the longer we're sitting for periods, we're literally shutting off the enzymes that are helping us metabolize and utilize fat. There are so many things that are happening physiologically. In the American Cancer Society, they discovered that literally if you exercise, but you sit most of your day, the benefits of exercise are negated. So we have to find ways of moving throughout our day. I like to tell people, you know, 100 years ago, we would not really talk about exercise.
No.
Because 100 years ago, our entire day was exercise.
Right.
So the game has changed.
Yes, and your new book is Fitness That Works, packing it in between 9 and 5.
Right.
And I love that concept. And that's what you've called your new book, you know, Fitness That Works, and how to incorporate that exercise between 9 and 5.
I really actually discovered, we wrote a book called The Burst Workout, and I realized that moving throughout the day is critical. So little bursts of activity throughout the day are really important. For myself personally, I noticed sitting way too long, and I literally stood up, sat down, thought, if I just did, you know, 10 of these, every hour, that's 80 squats at the end of the day. That is significant from a physiological perspective. And also, I felt better. And then also standing. We know that there are benefits to standing versus sitting. But here's the problem with standing. If we're standing for long periods of time without moving, our blood is pooling.
Yes,
and we begin to see effects in energy changes as well.
Right.
So really, the key is movement. We need to give folks little movements that they can do throughout their day.
Right. But though if you have a standing desk, and I have one, is that if I'm just reading something and I don't need to be typing, I'll do squats while I'm doing it. Because that's just a time when only my eyes need to be still. The rest of me doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I love that.
I can squat. I can do some jumping jacks.
Absolutely.
Just stepping. And so I love my standing desk. Though if I'm sitting, I have pedals under my desk,
love
so I can
it.
Pedal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So there are
absolutely.
So many things around us now, aren't there?
And I think knowing that's doable, I think, and I blame our profession, I blame myself, actually, as a health professional, as an exercise scientist and exercise physiologist, we were telling people really the blah, 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 what
right.
I call the blah, blah, blah. And
yes.
that is, I think we made it unrealistic for individuals to think, oh, I've got to go to the gym, oh, I have to spend 30 to 60 minutes to have any benefit. It's just not true. I mean, I always tell people, the best exercise, the number one exercise to improve your health, improve your fitness, slow the aging process, is the one you will do.
Exactly.
Right? It doesn't have to be a specific activity, but it's activity that you typically enjoy, and it's something that you can sustain for long periods of time. And when I mean by long periods of time, I mean weeks and months and years.
Yes.
Something that's a part of our lives.
Although I like your book, the 10-Minute Total Body Workout. I love this book. I've
Thank
given
you.
It to so many people.
Thank you.
Because even if you don't like exercise, you think, well, I can do it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because when we wrote the book, the idea was creating a fitness formula that encompassed all aspects of fitness, cardiovascular exercise, resistance training, core strengthening, and deep breathing and stretching. So all elements in a 10-minute workout. because you probably have heard of, you know, the 6-minute abs or 8-minute abs, and that's great. It's beneficial, sure. But it's just focusing on one aspect of our fitness, right?
Right, and we can get so familiar with that, we don't want to think outside that box.
Exactly. And so to your point, really, what we began to see, we began to test individuals with this 10-minute routine. We were blown away by how many people began to change other behaviors without us even saying anything. Stress levels changed. They started eating better without any guidance from us. We began to see weight changes. We know that nutrition is critical when it comes to weight management, weight loss, without any guidance from us, but they just began to feel better, which is critical. So we knew we were onto something by shrinking the duration and making something that's doable. And thus the idea of movements throughout the day became the next step.
The next step to a new you. But what if you don't feel like it? Here's the promise of help before we go to the break. We all know from personal experience that knowing what is good and right is very different from doing it. For example, I can tell you how healthy it is to eat fruit and veggies. I can show you how to prepare them and put them into a delicious dish that you'll even want to eat. But actually doing it is another story completely. The Apostle Paul described this struggle in Romans 7 and 8. He wrote, he wanted to do good but couldn't seem to do it. His human nature just took over and he ended up continuing to do all the things that were wrong that he didn't want to do. Praise God, it doesn't end there. He then goes on to say, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can that be? How does this work? Well, Jesus condemned sin by living a perfect life. He then died to pay the penalty of sin. In doing that, he removed the power of sin over us. If we believe in him, then we're free. Plus, he promises Holy Spirit power. That power will increase our desire to do good and enable us to do it.
Do you want to know how to boost your immune system? Be active. So join Sean right now as he guides us through some immune-boosting moves, right?
That's right. And we're going to start with working some abdominal areas. And, you know, many people say, I want to get a six-pack. Well, the six-pack involves much more than what you can see here. It involves our obliques. It involves our glutes, our lower back, the entire region, all right? How we do things involves our entire core, right? It's how we pick up boxes. So today we're going to focus on the entire core, all right, from the front and the back. Three exercises, we're gonna have a great time with it, all right?
All right.
So let's go into our march, kind of keep the core nice and tight. I really want you to get involved in or get engaged with bringing your knee up and keeping it here tight. That's all core, all right?
Right.
All right, slow it down and put this leg up. Hold it there. Now what you'll find is that core needs to turn on in order to pick this up, all right? Waking your core up. Every time we do an exercise, it has some type of core-centric focal point, all right? And that is here, all right?
Right.
What we're gonna do today is work the glutes, work the lower back, and work our obliques, all right?
All
so
right.
We're gonna have to go on to our back, all right? Let's
okay.
do it. First exercise, we have a glute bridge. I want you to bring the heels of your sneakers close, yep, all the way as much as you can. And your goal here is to bring your hips up all the way as high as possible. In order for you to get really engaged with this, you can hold that position, squeeze your glute as much as possible. Again, working the entire core region. Squeeze it, hold it. Tap the ground down. Don't rest there. Pretend like the floor is hot. And back up. All the way up, squeeze, and up and down. A good count for this is about 12 to 15. When you get to about 10, that's when you really start to feel your glutes wake up and it becomes a little spicy, all right?
Feel the burn.
You will feel the burn. So the goal here is for you to feel your glutes, and another way to really make this more challenging is if you had a dumbbell, you could put it right on each hip, which allows you to really work your core a little bit more. This is the glute bridge, a focal point in working your core, not just here, all right? So now that we're in this position, keep your feet there. We're gonna work our obliques going left to right, okay? So what this allows you to do is contract your obliques, squeeze, and breathe, all right? Perfect. What I want you to do now is inhale through your nose and exhale through your mouth. Now, the coaching cue that I would want to remind you here is always keep a nice distance between your chin and your collarbone. Allows for oxygen to go all the way down and for you to get a good exchange of carbon dioxide and oxygen. Mm. 3, 2, and 1. Now that you're there, you work your glutes, you work your obliques. Now you have to work your lower abdominal area where everyone typically has some trouble. Put the hand underneath your glutes, hold it there, extend your feet all the way out. Take a nice deep breath, lift it about 3 inches off the ground, and go. Alternate. Breathe. This will wake up your entire area, core area, okay? Now, in order for you to do this right, find a point where you feel nothing in your lower back. If you feel anything in your lower back, you may need to bring your feet up a bit higher.
Go up here.
Yep. Which will allow your back to be nice and flat, all right? But if you feel anything, you can adjust, okay?
Okay.
Now, to challenge it, I'll challenge you for a second. I'm gonna challenge you.
Oh, really?
Ready? There you go. Let's hold it 6 inches off the ground. Hold it right there. All right, what I want you to do is take a nice deep breath and hold. This will wake your core up. Now let's have a conversation. No, back up. Let's have a conversation while we're here, okay?
No,
let's talk about it. Let's talk about it right here.
Oh,
nah, no,
it will wake you up. You're making me today. What got into you?
No, so what you can do is start 6 inches off the ground and go up a little bit higher and then go back down. And then go into your flutter kicks. There's so many ways that I can challenge your core.
I might just start with the basic way.
Yeah. All right. So again, working the core, the upper body, lower body, and the glutes is a great way to challenge that whole entire region. Get it stronger for everything that we do on a functional level.
Yeah. All right. Helps prevent those bad backs.
It does. All right. So what we're gonna do is let's stretch nice and easy. Nice and easy. Take a deep breath. This allows you to wake your core up. Put your hands on your chest, lean back a bit, open up your core region. Come forward, reach your toes, contract your core, keep it nice and tight. Come up. You are good to go.
I don't know if I should thank you, but thank you.
You are welcome.
Researchers wondered, can religion affect your health? So began the 2006 Adventist Religion and Health Study. Preliminary results show that Adventists enjoy greater physical and mental quality of life than most people in the U.S. They live longer and, it seems, enjoy life more. These advantages increase with age. Adventist seniors have the greatest mental quality of life. Spiritually, mentally, and physically, religious belief can make a difference and is another ageless advantage.
Now it's time for your questions. Someone called and asked, what helps for a loss of taste? Well, you do lose some taste and smell after the age of 60, but it can also happen with head, face, or sinus problems. For example, if you have nasal polyps or you have allergies, that will reduce your sensitivity to smells. But then also bear in mind that if you're on blood pressure medications, they can be a cause. If you smoke, then that can be a cause. So stopping smoking really enhances your taste and your smell. And then a loss of taste and smell can also happen with Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease. Now, something you can just try yourself is to brush or scrape your tongue and see if that makes a difference. If it makes no difference, don't ignore the symptoms and get yourself checked out. Someone else called and said, what's good for sciatic nerve pain? I've tried physical therapy without much success. Well, sciatic pain, or sciatica as we call it, commonly occurs when this large nerve, it's about the size of your pinky, when it's compressed by either a herniated disc, a bony spur, or narrowing of the spinal column. And that causes inflammation, pain, and possibly numbness or weakness in the areas that nerve works in. And it's common with age, with being overweight, if you sit too long, or if you're heavy lifting and twisting at the same time. Now, you've tried PT or physical therapy, and if that's not helped, it may be time to get an MRI and look for any bony impingement on that nerve as it runs through. Now, bear in mind, you need to look after your back as well. Maintain a good posture. Use the 30-30 rule of 30 seconds up and moving for every 30 minutes that you sit down. And if you have to stand for prolonged periods, then rest one foot on a small box. When you're lifting, don't twist and lift at the same time. Bend your knees, not your back. All of those good things to look after your back.
And then someone called and said, what is the best thing for itching? Well, it's good to figure out what's causing the itching. And so you need to see your doctor for that. But if it's fairly generalized, it may simply be due to dry skin. So make sure you're getting enough fluids, that you're having enough omega-3 fats in your diet. And you might get that from walnuts, chia seeds, flax seeds, or spinach even. They're all good sources. And then when you're selecting an oil to cook with, canola has a good ratio of omega-3 to omega-6. And if you're using oil as a dressing or for bread, putting on bread or popcorn, fresh flaxseed oil is a good choice. Again, it's very rich in omega-3 fats. Then think about your skin. After bathing, apply a good moisturizer. And don't bathe more than once a day. You don't want to be stripping the oils too much out of your skin. And when you do bathe, use a gentle soap. Now, if the itch is only on exposed skin, like your hands or your arms, then it's possible that you've got contact dermatitis. Something is causing that kind of allergy or that inflammation. Now, you could try a different laundry detergent, one that does not have fragrance or coloring in it, and see if any of those things help. Now, if you have a question, you can send it by Facebook, text, phone, or go to our website. And my team and I will try to answer it as best we can. Like us on Facebook so that you can join our Go Healthy community. Now, let's see what's in store today. Celery is a winter crop with a mild aromatic taste. It's perfect for soups and casseroles because it adds a delicate flavour. It also works well with onions and carrots. Compared to other veggies, celery is high in sodium with 90 milligrams in one cup. But who eats a cup of celery? That's still less than the daily amount of 2300 milligrams. Many people use celery as a weight loss snack because one cup only contains 20 calories. It has several B vitamins, which are good for dealing with stress, and celery seed, which is sold as a spice, contains a compound that lowers blood pressure. Now, to avoid it wilting, you can keep celery well wrapped. However, if it does wilt, just trim the end and set it in a bowl of ice cold water. Pretty soon, it's sitting up crunchy and crisp again. Keeps in the refrigerator for up to 7 weeks. And during that time, the inner stalks here will continue to grow. Now that's what I call live food. Perfect for juicing. Bon appetit. Today's guest is exercise physiologist Sean Foy. One of the books he authored is called Fitness That Works, and it talks about 7 simple moves for fitness that we can incorporate into our everyday lives. He agreed to talk through some of these moves.
We know that as we get older, that we begin to see neuromuscular changes. And it's interesting that past the age of 45, we begin to see this decline in really our sense of balance, proprioception. And so what we need to realize, it's really not the aging process that causes this, it's our inactivity. So as we're sitting more often, we're really not challenging our body to perform in space and performing balanced movement. So a simple balanced move, I don't know, can I show? Something off standing.
No, probably not.
Yeah, so the simple thing you could do is literally standing up from your desk, and all you need to do is raise your right knee up, keep your left foot down, and raise it up to about waist level. Hold that position for 30 seconds. Switch legs, go the opposite side. Just performing that simple movement actually engages everything from the standing leg. You're going to feel this in your ligaments, your tendons, your muscles, and it's actually going to strengthen your balance. So what's so wonderful about that, you can do that standing from your desk without perspiring, without having to go to the gym, but a simple movement. Now, if you were to raise your hands above your head while doing that, you're engaging your core, so you can begin to make it a little bit more challenging. It doesn't have to be difficult. You could make it a little bit more challenging by placing a pillow underneath your foot just to cause a little bit more balance, or use a BOSU ball if you have access to that. Balance is something that we don't train enough. And it's a very functional aspect of our fitness that we need balance.
And you talk about static and dynamic balance.
Absolutely.
Just quickly the difference.
Yeah, so static balance, so when you're moving in space, if we were to do a walking lunge, for example, that requires a tremendous amount of balance. So when we talk about dynamic, that's moving. When we're static, we're standing still, like the previous one I just mentioned. So performing a little bit of both, for example, in the office, when we're standing there, why not, again, do a walking lunge, 3 repetitions forward, 3 repetitions backwards. These are movements that we forget. Our brain forgets. I often tell people, when you brush your teeth, in the morning, in the evening, and maybe in the afternoon, stand on one leg and just practice.
Oh, that's great.
It's a simple cue. It's something to remind you, okay, when you're brushing, practice.
Yes.
And over time, we've discovered that you actually improve your proprioception, your ability to move in space, your balance.
And that's so important as we get older and we're prone to falls.
Critical.
And your next one is reach. Talk about reach.
So reach is the idea of flexibility, improving flexibility. Again, another marker that we see changing as we get older. And again, it's not the aging process, or the chronological aging process. It's the physiological aging process. I like to tell people this. We all know individuals in our lives that are in their 80s, but they are much younger than 80. They're physiologically, some I've seen are in their 60s, some even in their 50s. These are the individuals that are moving all the time. And one of the aspects and areas of fitness that they need to improve in is flexibility, and one that they work on all the time.
Right.
So again, stretching, again, static and dynamic, where we can perform a simple movement, like a toe touch. Static movement, holding that position, you're really just stretching the muscle for a period of 15 to 20 seconds, even 30 seconds or longer. Stanford University found a little bit longer duration helps with muscle flexibility. But dynamic flexibility is in movement. You're actually performing. Again, go back to our lunge analogy. If you were to do a lunge and stay in that lunge position for a period of time, even 5 to 6 seconds, and then go into the other leg and perform the same motion, it improves flexibility, which is really, really important.
Interesting.
Especially sitting,
yes.
We have a tendency to have, we create tight hip flexors.
Yes.
So can we perform movement, static and also dynamic, that would help to improve that? Absolutely we can. Throughout our day, throughout our 9-to-5 work day.
Wow.
We can do it. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. So yeah, as I was reading your book, I thought, oh, can I touch my toes? And I was down to my knuckles. And I thought, wow, the
good
exercise program I'm on is working. I'm down to my knuckles. Never been down to my knuckles
very
before.
Good.
So.
Very good. Just remember, if you have a bad back, be careful. Don't warm up first before you do that. But that's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Now, your next is the step.
So stepping is really the idea of cardiovascular exercise. This idea of for example, walking is a great, it actually would be considered the most popular form of physical activity and exercise globally. And it's so simple to do. Just even going for a 5-minute walk outside is incredibly beneficial. But put it in the office. What if we were to stand from our desk and just march in place?
Mm-hmm.
Just march. Again, it doesn't have to be very difficult, doesn't have to be incredibly challenging. You could progress that if you'd like. I like to tell people to do a simple motion of dream jumping. Jumping rope is one of the best things you could do from a cardiovascular metabolic perspective, even from a lymphatic system, just moving your body up and down. But you don't need a rope to do that. You can pretend, I tell people, pretend you have two handles, put the rope behind you, and literally just pretend for 15, 30 seconds to perform a dream jump. That type of motion is incredibly beneficial. I would encourage folks, try it.
Yes.
Literally stand up from your desk, pretend you have a jump rope, and you can do crossovers. You don't have to worry about it because it's not going to hit anything, but it's very beneficial. So walking, jogging, these are all motions that we should be performing ideally. But if you're, again, at work, just marching in place, doing that for 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes ideally if you can, that would be ideal. Sit for 60, move for 3 would be the goal.
Right.
But honestly, I start people out with literally 1 minute. Start small. Start where you feel like I can do this.
Yes.
When I hear people say that, I can do this, I know that's the right duration for them.
Right. And the thing about step at work, you often have stairs, so you can add a little bit more to
I'm
it.
I'm so glad you said
you?
That, because stair climbing is one of the things that really is one of the most beneficial forms of activity. It's almost a mini lunge as we're stepping up. We're engaging our quad, our hamstrings, our glute. And you can perform, most of us have where we work stairwells, even at home, walking up and down our stairs. It doesn't have to be a stair climber. It doesn't have to be a treadmill. It doesn't have to be an elliptical. It literally is around us. I've seen individuals get a sturdy box that they can step up and down right by their desk. And I would encourage folks to literally think about purchasing a step that you can have right next to your desk. Perform simple step motion. And again, from a cardiovascular perspective, from a heart strengthening, we forget that our heart is a muscle. And that muscle is strengthened by challenging it. It adapts with that type of activity, obviously, cardiovascular movement.
Cardiovascular health is what keeps us walking and breathing. As you'll see in Larry's story, followed by more of these seven simple moves in the last segment. So don't go away. Larry was an ER physician who grew obese and switched from the standard American diet to a Mediterranean diet and began working out 6 days a week. Losing 60 pounds, he thought he'd avoided serious health issues until he got the chest pain. His cardiologist immediately scheduled urgent cardiac bypass surgery. During recovery, he became serious about reversing the disease that very nearly took his life. Watch.
Now, a month after the scan, after the surgery, they did a heart scan, and it still showed blockage. A year later, a completely normal scan, and everything was reversed. I'm an emergency physician, and a good shift for me is a bad shift for somebody else, because somebody's having a heart attack, or they've been hit by a car, or been shot or stabbed. Well, those are fun procedures and things to take care of immediately. Not a lot of reward in it. After I taught my first lifestyle class, my first CHIP class, I had more satisfaction out of that, because all of a sudden I see people getting off diabetic medicine, getting off cholesterol medicine, getting off blood pressure medicine, losing weight, and feeling good. That's where I've gone from there, from somebody who did not want a stick of broccoli to go into a completely plant-based diet. I feel better than I've ever before. I'm 62 years old. I love eating more now than ever before. And had I known then what I know now, I would not have had the bypass. I would have tried lifestyle changes. We wound up doing 4 months after surgery, our first triathlon. June got second, my wife got second in her age group, and I finished. And 3 months after that, we did our second one. She got first in her age group, and I finished. And 11 months of the day, we did our first marathon, full marathon. We both finished. And since then, we started doing more triathlons, and I wound up working up over the next few years up to a full Ironman, which is a 2.5 mile swim, actually 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, and a marathon, 26.2 miles. So, it's, you know, that's after disease, you know. So, I tell people I'm not just a physician, I'm also a patient.
And who practices what he preaches. In the previous segment, exercise guru Sean Foy started sharing his seven simple moves for fitness. The first three were balance, reach, and step. Here's more from Sean.
As we are knowledge workers, most of us are sitting for a living, and we're in a position which is causing a natural consequence called kyphosis, a rounding of the shoulders. And so we are seeing ourselves in this position all day long. Look at the impact I'm having. And literally with our phones, we're in this position all day long. So simply just either seated, I would prefer standing, just performing a simple isometric motion of pulling our hands back towards our chest and then pressing out and just extending as a stretch, pulling back again. Simple motion of pushing and pulling. Now, if you have a desk, just doing some desk push-ups or even a wall push-up, going up against a wall, leaning back, bring your feet about 2 to 3 feet behind you, place your hands on the wall about shoulder level, coming down to near nose level and pressing back. Wonderful for the tricep, the pec muscles, the shoulder muscles. Again, engaging even your core, doing these types of motions throughout your day are extremely beneficial. But the primary reason I'd like to help people understand our posture. We forget about throughout our day how much of our day is with this large weight pulling our back. And as you mentioned with your back, it's critical that we understand how do we counterbalance? How do we, with this motion all day long, how do I strengthen my muscles to improve my posture? I like to tell my clients, you will look 10 to 15 pounds lighter by improving your posture. When we look at elite athletes like gymnasts and ballet dancers, beautiful symmetry because of their core strength. Mm-hmm. And that really leads to twisting. And that's a wonderful movement as well. But I like to tell people push and pull is really balancing your posture, especially your upper body.
And what's the 30-30 rule that you've put in there?
I like to tell people, ideally, think about the 30 seconds, really the 30 seconds of movement that you can perform every 30 minutes. So think of that as a great rule of thumb. Really, it doesn't take much time. So some people like to say, every 20 minutes we should be moving. But I like to think of either every hour or every 30 minutes, perform just a 30-second movement. Could be deep breathing. It could be a simple push-pull. Could be a simple stretch. Could be a simple step. Could be any of those types of movements.
And then you mentioned the twist. Why do we need to twist?
Okay, so I won't have you do this, but seated on the end of your chair, placing your hands across your chest, and just rotating to the side, to the side, you're engaging your abdominal wall and your oblique muscles, coming back to center and then going the opposite side. Now, that's beneficial. Now, if you were to sit on the end of your chair and lean back, this is a motion that we call in the fitness world a Russian twist. It was developed by the Russians. It's a phenomenal movement, but literally in this position, you're leaning back, you're engaging your core more. But think about this. How often are we twisting throughout our day? When you're driving, you're twisting. When you go to pick up something, a newspaper, it doesn't matter what you may be doing. But I like to tell people, think of the functional fitness that you want to experience in your 60s, your 70s, your 80s. These are movements that we need to continue to do throughout our day. So simply standing from your desk, performing just a simple twisting motion, being careful not to overextend, very beneficial for our core, our abdominal muscles, our oblique muscles primarily. Very beneficial and simple. Simple.
It is. But, you know, often I think of myself, I'm grabbing my computer bag. It's a backpack.
Yeah.
And I can do that badly or I can do it well,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. And you bring up a really good point, and that is that so often our back injuries are, let's say we're traveling a lot, we're dehydrated, and we sneeze or we go to pick up a set of keys, and all of a sudden that back just grabs us. We can, again, I like to think of it as motion affects emotion, but motion creates lotion. In other words, we're lubricating our joints, we're helping our body to really, our circulation is so critical. So I like to tell people, be careful when you're performing any twisting motion. But again, we need to think of ourselves as athletes. And that's hard to do, but an athlete takes such great care of their body, their instrument that they will be using in their profession. We have to use our body as well. Simple activities, though, like picking up a set of keys.
Yes, and so engaging the core is really important.
Critical.
Because otherwise you're just using your peripheral muscles, you're going to hurt yourself.
Oh, no question. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the final, number seven, was the lunge.
Oh, yeah.
The skill of lunging. Tell us about
honestly,
that.
Honestly, if I were to pick a favorite exercise for the entire lower body, it would be the lunge. And from a metabolic perspective, squat, lift, and lunging are critical because these are the engines of our body. These are large muscle groups. And as I shared with you, when I lost my engine, it affected my entire body. Lunging is a very functional movement in that it really requires balance. But I like to tell people, start not with a walking lunge, because that's a challenging motion. I would start with a static lunge, where you place one foot behind you, one foot in front of you, and just go down about a quarter distance to where you're not really down too low. It's not going to be difficult for you. Hold that position for 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Switch legs and do the opposite side. Static lunges are phenomenal because you're not really, especially for folks that may have difficulty with their knees or their joints, staying in one position without moving still causes the muscles to be activated, and obviously it creates resistance, so our body has to adapt.
Give us some tips for how to stay motivated.
Oh, wow. So I've discovered in writing the 10-minute total body breakthrough and the burst workout and even fitness that works, the number one reason why I think most of us struggle with exercise and physical activity is we don't know our why. We need to understand the bigger reason for moving. And we've been traveling around the country sharing this with individuals, and we've really discovered that once you know your why, it doesn't matter really how long. Because I found I was giving people 10-minute workouts, even 1-minute workouts, and if they didn't have their why, they weren't going to do it. So what is it that inspires you, propels you, encourages you, helps you to think bigger picture? What's your reason? I discovered clients would come to me, Sean, I want to lose weight. I've got a wedding to go to or a reunion to go to. And I said, that's great, but can you give me something bigger, something that's beyond that, that will carry you through those times when we just don't want to exercise? So I really want to encourage folks, think about the deeper reasons, the bigger why. everything from it's for my family. It's for my calling in life. Maybe it's I'm a doctor and I want to continue to help as many people as I can. How do I do that? I've got to stay fit. I've got to stay healthy. So connect that why with your objective of staying healthy and well, and it's magic. It's absolutely magic. So I would say by far the greatest tip I could say is dig for your why, find your why.
And that why becomes your inspiration to continue with perspiration. Just like Larry, who wanted to run away from heart disease as fast as he could. Remember, it's exercise that makes you look and feel younger, happier, and healthier. Keep working on your balance, maintaining your flexibility, working your heart and lungs. Twist every day, do squats and lunges for picking up power, and straighten those stooped shoulders and spine. That's all from me today. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.